If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Anon, Patrice, and Matthew Caruso. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that is also in the description. Protestantism is inherently anti-Catholic. That is why ecumenism can never really work. Catholicism says that Christ started a church, gave it authority, and it alone is guided by the Holy Spirit to doctrinal truth. That saving grace, the grace that saves us, is given to us through the sacraments. The deposit of faith is given to us through Scripture, yes, but also sacred tradition. And only the magisterium of the church established by Christ can truly discern the truth. The deposit of faith is handed down through the Catholic Church. Protestants say that the deposit of faith comes through Scripture alone, and that the Holy Ghost guides each of us individually to the truths of doctrine, and that saving grace is just out there, and we are saved through faith alone. Protestantism is rebellion against the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. That doesn't mean every Protestant is overtly anti-Catholic. If Catholicism is wrong, then it's a colossal waste of time, because you don't need the sacraments to save your soul. You'll save your soul because you have faith. But if Catholicism is true, then Protestantism is downright dangerous, and Martin Luther and his little nun are both probably in hell for breaking their vows of chastity. Jesus said to the apostles, "What sins you forgive will be forgiven, and what sins you retain will be retained." This is where Jesus established the sacrament of confession, whereby we confess our sins to a priest in order to get them forgiven. The early church fathers confirmed that this was indeed the practice of the early church. The Didache, written in 70 AD, says, "Confess your sins in church, and do not go up to prayer with an evil conscience. This is the way of life. On the Lord's Day, gather together, break bread, and give thanks, after confessing your transgressions, so that your sacrifice may be pure." And Ignatius of Antioch said in 110 AD, "For as many as are of God and of Jesus Christ are also with the bishop, and as many as shall, in the exercise of penance, return into the unity of the church, these too shall belong to God, that they may live according to Jesus Christ." The ability to forgive sins requires apostolic succession, which Protestant churches don't have. Only a priest or bishop with legitimate apostolic succession can forgive sins, and there are some sins that can only be forgiven through the sacrament of confession. So there are Protestants with mortal sin on their soul who think they are forgiven but are not, and if they die in that state, they will go to hell. But Protestants deny that there is any earthly authority, and since there is no physical sign of receiving grace like with the sacraments, it becomes about feelings. I read the Bible, prayed about it, got an idea, the warm and fuzzy set in, therefore it must be the Holy Spirit giving me grace. So grace becomes a feeling, not realizing that the demons can do this. Demons have access to our imagination, and they can put ideas into your head and affect your emotions, so they can make us feel good about something. And Protestants ignore the fact that other people have done the same thing, felt the same way, but what they, quote, received is different, perhaps even contradictory. That's why there are so many denominations. They can't agree on what the Holy Spirit is saying through the system of feelings they've concocted. That right there should tell them that this system of get an idea, pray about it, then check your feelings is diabolical, because the Holy Spirit doesn't guide us individually on matters of doctrine. He guides the Catholic Church, and we are expected to obey. He who hears you hears me. Here's a simple test. If you think the Holy Spirit has told you something, and that something contradicts a dogma of the Catholic Church, it's not the Holy Spirit you are talking to. The Holy Spirit does not cause division, confusion, and chaos, and that's what Protestantism is. The Protestant movement of Scripture alone has shattered that movement into 1,000 pieces because they can't agree on what the true meaning of Scripture is. That right there should tell them that Scripture alone is not sufficient, and that there must be someone who has the final say. And if they would take an objective look at Scripture and history, they would see that that is the Catholic Church. They say they agree on the basics, but that's not true. Do you have to be baptized to be saved or not? Some say yes, some say no. I'd say that's pretty basic, wouldn't you? But not only that. Some say you won't be saved unless you speak in tongues, and others say speaking in tongues is diabolical. Does faith alone mean strictly belief, or is it more nuanced than that? Ironically, salvation through faith alone is explicitly condemned in the Bible, James 2:14 and 24. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can his faith save him? You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, of course, the Protestants have their ways to show that the text doesn't mean what it says. But could you imagine if there was a Bible text that explicitly denied a Catholic doctrine? What if the Bible said there is no Pope, or communion is not the body and blood of Christ, or Mary committed sin? It would be over. But the Scripture alone crowd believes in faith alone, yet Scripture says we are not saved by faith alone, and nobody cares. Yes, I understand that there are other Bible verses that seem to support faith alone, but the fact that there are seemingly contradictory statements in the Bible should tell them that Scripture alone is not enough and there must be an authority. And this brings us to the real problem. They refuse to submit themselves to the Roman Pontiff. The Catholic Church has said repeatedly that submission to the Roman Pontiff is necessary for salvation. Now, of course, if somebody is invincibly ignorant, it is not held against them. But we can't dwell there and assume everyone is ignorant. And if they are, then we need to tell them. And I'm just as guilty as everyone else for not telling them, probably more. This is the real ecumenism. This is what the Catholic Church needs to be saying to these people. You need to become Catholic or you might go to hell. Even if you've been baptized. Even if you give alms to the poor. And yes, even if you shed your blood for Christ. That's what the Council of Florence says. Now again, if someone is truly ignorant of this, and truly of good will, it is not held against them, and they can be saved, that doesn't mean they will be saved. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 through 23, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers." Most people go to hell, and some people, even Christians, who believe that they are going to heaven, go to hell for not being Catholic. That has to be the case, or that statement from the Council of Florence is meaningless, yet it's infallible, meaning it is absolutely true. But what about someone like Billy Graham? Billy Graham brought so many people to Christ and saved so many souls. Surely he was saved, even though he wasn't Catholic. I don't know if Billy Graham was saved or not. It's not my place to judge. But he preached the heretical doctrines of salvation through faith alone and once saved, always saved. He promoted the unbiblical salvation ritual of running up to the altar, asking Jesus into your heart, and making him your personal Lord and Savior. None of that's in the Bible. It sounds good, and maybe it does something if the person is truly sincere, but that's not how the Bible says you are born again or saved. Nowhere does the Bible say Jesus personal Lord and Savior or ask Jesus into your heart. Now, Protestants might say, well, Catholics believe in things that aren't in the Bible as well. And we don't believe in Bible alone either, do we? It's one thing to believe in things that aren't in the Bible when you say there are things we should believe that aren't in the Bible, and another to believe things that aren't in the Bible when you say you can't believe things that aren't in the Bible. The Bible says you are born again and saved through baptism, John 3:3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And John 3:5 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Billy Graham was one of those who didn't believe baptism was necessary. He wasn't having people baptized during his crusades, from what I've read. So he was promoting an unbiblical means of salvation while not practicing the biblical means of salvation, baptism. Now, I don't want to be unfair. Billy Graham thought baptism was important and encouraged people to get baptized. He just didn't think it was necessary. And he certainly wasn't bringing people into the Catholic Church, which is the ark of salvation. If anything, he brought people out of the Catholic Church. How many people left the Catholic Church because of Billy Graham? How many Catholics went to hell for leaving the Catholic Church because of Billy Graham? Even the Second Vatican Council says, Whosoever, therefore, knowing that the Catholic Church was made necessary by Christ, would refuse to enter or remain in it, could not be saved. A Catholic cannot say that Billy Graham, or any other Protestant for that matter, was definitely saved. Yes, faith is necessary for adult salvation, but so is charity, Matthew 25:41. Then he said to those on his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Of course, we can't earn salvation, and the Catholic Church has never taught that. But simply believing is not enough. We must love our neighbor as well. Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. We must also refrain from sinning. Mortal sin will send us to hell. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, men who engage in illicit sex, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revelers, swindlers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. So no, we are not saved by faith alone. Yes, I understand that baptism makes Protestants a member of the church, members of the body of Christ, our separated brethren and our brothers and sisters in Christ. I understand there is such a thing as explicit and implicit desires of baptism and the church, which are salvific, and they can be saved. It is possible. And I personally believe that many Protestants do get saved. And as I've said in other videos, I believe I have confirmation of one which was saved. But that's my opinion. It could be wrong. And it doesn't change the fact that it is the Catholic Church that was established as necessary for salvation, not the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or any other Protestant church. And any Protestants who do end up saved are saved through the Catholic Church in spite of being Protestant. And again, we can't dwell there. Most people go to hell, but today we act like everyone's going to heaven, including the Catholic Church. In the past, the popes forbade Catholics from participating in Protestant ecumenical movements, movements started by well-meaning Protestants who loved all Christians, including Catholics, and wanted everyone to put their differences aside and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. The popes said no, Catholics cannot participate because it will cause indifferentism. Some Catholics will undoubtedly say, well, these are good Christian people, maybe you don't have to be Catholic, because real Catholicism is hard. It's hard now, but it was really hard then, and Protestantism is easy. Just believe and you will be saved. All of your sins don't matter. They will all be forgiven and you will be saved if you just believe. Boy, wouldn't that be nice if it were true. Protestantism is a temptation for Catholics. Not for me. I'm the ex-smoker. I'm the ex-alcoholic, the ex-drug addict. Not really, but you understand what I'm saying. But I am the ex-Protestant and none of that tempts me anymore. Of course, today the Catholic Church says yes, you can go to Protestant services. Not officially, they just no longer forbid it. The new code of canon law has no prohibition against attending Protestant services. Today, Catholics are told they can go to Protestant services, but they can't participate in the service. For example, Catholics cannot receive communion in Protestant churches, and they still have to go to Mass that Sunday. They can't substitute a Protestant service for Mass. And since this is a matter of practice, I believe it is something that can change, but it's a bad idea. Now, why does a Catholic have to go to Mass as well if they attend a Protestant service? Why can't the Protestant service count, and why can't Catholics participate? Well, it's because singing and praying and preaching are not worship. At least, it's not all that's required for worship. True Christian worship, the worship Christ established, is the representation of Christ's sacrifice on the cross that happened once in time, made present at the altar in the Catholic Mass, and offered to the Father. The bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ in reality, not symbolically. This requires valid apostolic succession and the priesthood, and no Protestant church has that. Even the ones who believe in some sort of real presence don't have it. Even the ones who claim to have a priesthood and bishops don't have them. They are not real priests and bishops. Yes, even the Anglican and Episcopal churches. The only thing that really changed from the Old Testament worship to New Testament worship is the victim. Instead of animals, it's Christ himself. All the churches that can actually trace their lineage to the apostles, the Catholic Church, the Orthodox churches, the Coptic Church, etc., do it this way. But we're supposed to believe that God went from commanding a priesthood, strict rubrics, and a victim for worship to a hippie that thinks anything goes and any worship you want to give him is groovy. And all the original churches were doing it wrong for the first 1,500 years. Yeah, I don't think so. Catholics should not attend Protestant services without grave reason. Now, I'm married to a Protestant. We go to my church most of the time, but a few times a year, we do go to her church. I don't participate, I don't take communion, and I go to Mass in the morning. You see, I've come to all this knowledge recently, and we've been going to each other's churches for 25 years. What's the point of stopping now? I could be wrong, but I feel it would do more harm than good. The kids are grown, I'm in no danger of converting, and if I were to say I'm no longer going, it would harm our relationship. The 1917 Code of Canon Law says you must have grave reason to attend Protestant services, and if unsure, ask the bishop. Now, my bishop is not the SSPX bishops. They have no jurisdiction. My bishop is the bishop of the diocese I live in, and that's not just me saying that. That's how it is for everyone. And these days, the local bishop is more likely to tell you you can't go to the SSPX than he is to tell you that you can't go to a Protestant service. So I believe I have grave reason. But if your friends are inviting you to their Protestant church, your answer should be no, because they are trying to get you out of the Catholic Church and into their church, regardless of what they say. And ever since the Catholic Church has embraced this false ecumenism that doesn't seek conversion, that doesn't tell people that it's not that simple, you're not saved yet, and you might go to hell if you don't become Catholic, and allows Catholics to attend Protestant services at will, Catholics have left the church for easy-peasy Protestantism and have put their immortal souls in danger. Now look, I'm the world's worst coward and hypocrite when it comes to this subject. All my friends and family, except some immediate family, are either worldly or Protestants. And do I tell them that they need to become Catholic to be saved? No. If they ask if Catholics believe you have to be Catholic to be saved, I quote the Second Vatican Council, "Whosoever, therefore knowing that the Catholic Church was made necessary by Christ, would refuse to enter it or remain in it, could not be saved." Because it sounds better than quoting the Council of Florence. I will argue Catholic doctrine till the cows come home, but when it comes to this subject, telling someone they must become Catholic or they might go to hell, I chicken out. I'm a coward. I'm a coward just like everyone else. Look, both can't be right. Either Christ established a church, instituted sacraments to convey sanctifying grace, and established a hierarchy that is guided by the Holy Spirit, and we are expected to obey them, or Christ came, appointed apostles for no reason, and no, it was not to write the New Testament. The majority of the original apostles wrote nothing, preached the gospel, somehow the Bible was put together, and everyone is supposed to just figure it out. So if you're listening to this and you're not a Catholic, you have a grave duty before God to look into this, to consider the possibility, to not remain in ignorance. Not to see what the Protestant leaders have to say about the Catholic Church, all you're going to get are lies from them. But read real history, read the Bible for yourself, don't just let the pastor tell you what it says, and discover for yourself that the Catholic Church is the church Christ established, outside of which there is no salvation. God does not want you to remain ignorant. He wants you to come home to the Catholic Church so you can be saved. Until my next video, God bless.